Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
We're starting into a new series, and I am super excited about this series in the book of Colossians, because Colossians is a book of all the different, what they call epistles or letters about Jesus and about how the life of Christ affects us. This is the one that points the most to who Jesus is. You see, in the New Testament, you have the Gospels, which are the stories of Jesus' life, and then you have the epistles, which tell us about how we apply Jesus' life to us and how we live out this Christian life. And so Colossians is a short little book, only four chapters. We're going to spend the whole summer on the book of Colossians, because now that we've looked at Jesus and who he is and how he is the cornerstone of our lives, we're going to take Paul's teachings, which unpack to us, how do we think about Jesus and how does Jesus affect how we think about life? And how does Jesus change the way that we live lives, our relationships, our purpose in living, how we receive voices and influences into our lives? Jesus, when we keep Jesus central to our life, he affects all of that. And so Jesus is not meant to simply be a part of our worldview. Jesus isn't meant to be just a part of our worldview. We're supposed to view the world through Jesus. And as we view the world through Jesus, that's when our lives are transformed and we become a transformative influence in the world around us. And that's our goal. That's what we'll see in the book of Colossians. And as we start into this book, we're also going to be looking at just the background of Colossae and how this church started and what the city of Colossae was like. Because we need to remember that as we go through these books of the Bible, as we study the Bible, it's not just like a theology book or a textbook about principles, but it's really a letter that was written to a people. A real people, a group of people who were living with a real set of circumstances. And we're going to find out as we look at the background how the circumstances and the people of Colossae were similar to who we are, and how the letter and what was written in that letter to influence them and to instruct them on life, how it applies to us here at Every Nation Taipei. And so it's going to bring out a different richness to understanding the word and how to apply it to our lives. Because in the end, we want to live out the scripture. We want to live out Jesus in our life, not just know about him and have this theology of Jesus. We want to have a relationship with him. We want to walk with him, because that's when our lives begin to change. And that's when we really begin to have influence on the lives around us. So we're looking at Colossians, and our title for this series is It All Points to Jesus. And today is going to be more of an overview and background. And we're going to be looking at the title of today's message is The Life You Are Meant to Live. So Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. This is our theme scripture for today. And it says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. Father, we pray today that as we look into the book of Colossians for these next weeks, that Lord, you would really change our lives to really become more like Christ. That not only would we include Christ in our lives, but that we would view all of life through Christ. And that we would learn what it means to walk with Christ and to become like him and to lead others to him. So Holy Spirit, come. Teach us about Christ today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're looking here at Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. And we're going to understand who wrote the book, because that makes a difference. And then we're going to unpack who he was writing to, and the church that he was writing to, and the city that church was in. And then we're going to apply it to what it means to us today. in living the life that we were meant to live, following Jesus. Verse 1, Colossians chapter 1, verse says this. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. And that little phrase there is chock full of meaning. Paul is an apostle of Jesus. What does that mean? It means that he is like an ambassador, a representative of Jesus. But an apostle did more than just be an ambassador. An apostle was meant to not only go and be a representative, but to also to begin to change or instill the culture of Jesus into a society and into a community. So Paul is saying, I'm an apostle of Jesus. I'm sent by God to bring Jesus into the community that I'm sent to. And he says, I am sent by God. In other words, he says, I'm chosen by God. It's based on God's will that I'm an apostle. And so our will means our desires and our decisions. And Paul is saying, it's not about my desires. It's not about my decisions. This is about God's desires and his decisions to send me as an apostle to minister the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and to bring him to others. And so in our lives, we need to ask ourselves, why am I here? Why am I doing what I'm doing? Is it just my own decision? Is it based on my own desires? Or am I connecting with God and living according to his will, knowing that I'm chosen by him, I'm sent by him, and life only begins to make sense when we align ourselves to God's desires, because he's the one who created us and he has our best interests at heart. So Paul, an apostle of Jesus, chosen by the will of God. And that's us, you and I. We're to be apostles of Jesus, or sent by Jesus to express Jesus to others according to God's desire and his decisions, his will. He goes on to say that he's sent with Timothy, our brother. And Paul, you're going to see whenever Paul goes to minister, he always takes someone with him. He's always got Barnabas or Silas or Luke. Paul always ministered in a tag team situation. He always had a wingman ministering with him. And you and I, we need to have the same thing. Jesus, when he sent out his disciples, he sent them out two by two, because there's a power when we partner together. And so the question that we have to ask ourselves is, who am I partnering with? Who is helping me get closer to Jesus? And who am I helping get closer to Jesus? Who am I walking with? Who has God partnered me with? Who's my wingman? I know when I was, you know, when you're in the dating scene, you're always looking for a wingman, someone who's going to help you look good to this girl that you want to look good to. And we need someone, a wingman, to help us get closer to God and help us have a stronger relationship with God and better connection with the others that we're trying to reach to bring to Christ. That's what a wingman does for us. So who's your wingman? The third thing about Paul, who's writing, and it's not in this scripture, but we know from history, is that Paul wrote this from prison. And as Paul writes this from prison, he takes advantage of this time that most of us would look at it and say, wow, what a bummer. You know, I'm so limited. I'm so constricted. I'm captive. And my circumstances are preventing me from advancing the gospel. But Paul looked at the circumstances and said, I'm going to find a way. In all these changing from freedom to captivity, I'm going to continue to find ways to preach the gospel and to advance the work of God. And so in the challenging circumstances that you face, we have to have that same spirit to say, whatever comes, freedom or prison, whatever might come my way, I'm going to find a way to preach the gospel. I'm going to find a way to connect with Jesus and connect others to Jesus. I'm going to find a way to keep advancing God's purposes. So Paul didn't stop being an apostle because he was in prison. He continued to continue to be sent by the will of God. I'm continuing, even if I can't go physically, I'm going to send a letter. And how much easier is it for us today to send letters, right? Even though we're locked into our homes, we can still reach out and touch so many others through technology. So I want to encourage you, look for ways to continue advancing the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, to continue to share the love of God, the story of Jesus with others, even in changing circumstances. That's what Paul did. Verse 2, it goes on to say who Paul is writing to. So we know it's Paul who's writing, and now he's writing to the saints at Colossae. So he's writing to these people and he calls them saints, not because they're like Mother Teresa or some, you know, St. Patrick, they've done some amazing thing and have this holy religious title put on them. But they're saints because of what Jesus has done in their lives. You see, you and I, we are only righteous through what Jesus has done. It's all about Him. But you and I, we are saints because in the same way that Jesus died for the people of Colossae, the church in Colossae, in the same way that they were saints because of the righteousness of Jesus, not their own righteousness, you and I, every nation, Taipei, we are the saints of God because of what Jesus has done. Not because of our righteousness, and we don't fall out from being saints because we mess up. Rather, the forgiveness of God comes and it lifts us up. And so it doesn't matter if you've messed up. It doesn't matter if you have been living in error. Jesus Christ, He lifts us up from our fallen places. He forgives us of our sins and causes us to walk as saints. And even though we may have messed up, God can still use us to advance the mission. Not because it's not based on who we are. It's based on who He is. And so, every nation Taipei, let's rise up and be the saints of God like the people in Colossians. Goes on to say, to the faithful brothers in Christ. And I love this. So they're saints. Why? Because they've been forgiven in Christ. They're brothers because they're a part of a new family. You and I, wherever we've come from, and I love how the international congregation, we're from all over the world, we've been brought together to be a new family in Christ. But it goes on to say they are faithful brothers. In other words, these are our men and women who have been faithful to God and are continuing to follow after God in the midst of the changing circumstances. And we're going to look at how Colossae was a place of changing circumstances, challenging circumstances, and yet they continued to follow God. They are faithful to the call of God on their lives. And so we want to be faithful brothers. I also love this because Colossae, the church of Colossians, was a church that Paul never went to. He didn't know the people in Colossae. He had sent one of his co-workers, Epaphras, who probably got saved in Ephesus. He sent him. He went out. Epaphras went out, and he was the one who started the church there, began winning people to Christ. And so let's just take a moment now. We're looking at the faithful brothers. Let's look at this city of Colossae and this church of the Colossians. And seeing their circumstances, we'll see ourselves. And it'll be instructive to us on how we, as Every Nation Taipei, can advance the kingdom. So this church was started by Epaphras. The Bible doesn't say a whole lot about Epaphras. Bible historians say that he was probably one who got saved in Paul's work in Ephesus. If you'll remember, we go back to Acts chapter 19. When you read Acts chapter 19, it talks about Paul's time in Ephesus and the church that was there. And I believe that church in Ephesus is a great pattern for us here in Every Nation, here in Taipei. Paul started this church in Epaphras. He actually went He went there as a tent maker. Paul went there with Priscilla and Aquila, and he went to go and build tents and preach the gospel. And so you see, Paul, he went there, and his work was building tents. But his mission was to preach the gospel, to make disciples, to share Jesus. And you and I, regardless of what our work might be, our mission is to share Jesus with others. Because when Paul went to Ephesus, he didn't go as just a preacher or a full-time pastor. He went as a tent maker, literally making tents. And through that, one of Paul's most effective churches, one of the most effective churches in the New Testament, was raised up. Acts 19 says that in 2 years, Paul was there for a little over 2 years because things were going so well that he reached the whole region. And so it's interesting to say that Paul in Ephesus, he had a little Bible study. And when you look back in Acts chapter 19, what happened when Paul went to Ephesus is he started to preach the gospel, sharing with some Jews who were there. And then some people started to believe, and then others rose up in opposition. So he took, the Bible says, 12 men. He made a little small group and just started teaching these guys in the small group in a place called the School of Tyrannus. And that small group started to catch fire. I don't know if you've ever been in a small group that just catches fire. More people are joining. I've been in so many small groups over the years, and I've been in some that have started with one or two people and ended up two or four people. I've been in others that have grown, and from one person and a few people, it's grown to multiple small groups, 20, 30, 40, 50 people being reached. And that's what was happening here with Paul. He had this small group, 12 men, the Bible says, and in 2 years, they reached the whole region while being a small group. And how did that happen? Because of men like Epaphras. The Bible doesn't say a whole lot about him. Like, we don't know how he got saved. We don't know how he was sent out. It's likely that he may have just gone out on his own. Epaphras was from Colossae. And just that he had a burden when he met Christ in Ephesians, in Ephesus, that he wanted to take the gospel back and lead others to Christ. And the Bible says that not only did he start one church, he started three churches. And so actually when Paul writes this letter, he's writing to three different congregations. He says, share this message with these other congregations. And they were all within 20 kilometers of each other. And they were all churches that knew Epaphras because Epaphras had been instrumental in starting these churches. And so I believe that God is going to send people out from this church, everyday people who are going to just get on fire for God and take the gospel out. And start new small groups, start new churches to see others come to Christ. And what's interesting is this small group that Paul had, he did it after working hours. So in the time of that this was written, a working day started at 6 a.m. when the sun went up and ended at 11 a.m. It's a 5-hour workday. Well, maybe we need a 5-hour workday in Taipei. But in those days, that's how long people worked. And then after the workday, they would go home, they would eat lunch, and then get ready for bed. Because when the sun goes down, day is done. And so what this school that Paul started, this small group that Paul started in the school of Tyrannus, he began it at 11 o'clock. The ancient history, ancient manuscripts say that Paul started this school. It would begin at 11 o'clock in the morning and go to 5 p.m. In other words, after a full day of work, these guys would come in and study for another 5 hours. 5 hours of work, 5 hours of study. So these weren't students, people who were just full-time students. They weren't wealthy people who had extra time and could learn. These were working people who had a hunger for God and were willing to, after a full day of work, come and spend another full day learning about Jesus. And I love that because this is a church that, in the same way that Paul went there as a tent maker, as a marketplace, a working person, and started the church, he gathered around him working people, not full-time professional Christians. And they're the ones who shared the gospel and spread it throughout a region, starting churches. And I'm believing for here in Taiwan that we're going to take the gospel and we're going to start other churches here in Taipei. And we're going to start churches throughout the city, all the way down to Kaohsiung. And I love that we're already multiple congregations. We have our international congregation and our Chinese congregation and our congregation in Kaohsiung. And that God is going to just keep growing that. So this church in Colossians, it's really it's a model that we can follow, and it gives us faith for what God's called us to do, that God can take everyday working people like Epaphras and others and stir them up, get them on fire to where they take the gospel, start new churches. So that's the background, a little bit of the background of the church in Ephesus that made disciples and went viral. Now, a little bit on Colossae as a city. And just the circumstances of Colossae, it was a city that was at one point the largest city in its region. It was the center of commerce. It was right on this big east-west trade route, the main thoroughfare. And so what would happen is people coming from the Euphrates River's main major river all the way to Ephesus, this major trading town, they would all go through Colossae. And so Colossae just grew for two reasons. One, because of this traffic that always came through. And so Colossae was a city of ethnic diversity and from people from all over the world, just like our international congregation. We have people from all over the world who are coming together from all different backgrounds. And so Colossae and the church in Colossians was a church with many different backgrounds. But it also was a church that was had a lot of people who were successful, because Colossae was a city that had this one, they made actually red material, red cotton cloth there that became famous. And so this one industry that they had put them on the map and was caused economic growth there. So you had people who were wealthy and you had people from all over. But you also had changing circumstances, because what happened is that major thoroughfare, that major highway that went through Colossae, they had actually rerouted it through another city. And so Colossae began to, was in a place where the economics were starting to change there. Just like here, how COVID has really changed our economics, has really changed the way that we do business and the way that we live. And we're all grappling with that. It's changed the way that we've done church. Colossae was a city that was grappling with a change in their economics. And it created an opportunity for the gospel, just like this change is creating an opportunity for the gospel. If we'll become people who embrace it and say, in all the changing circumstances, I'm going to look for ways to preach the gospel better. I'm going to look for ways to share Jesus with other people in these changing circumstances. If we have the heart of Paul, who said, you throw me in prison, I'm going to find another way to share Jesus with people. You put us under coronavirus, under COVID lockdown, we're going to find other ways to make disciples and share Jesus. That's the heart that I'm believing for in this church in Every Nation Taipei, like it was in the church in Colossae. God just shared, they just kept sharing the gospel and planting churches. But there were two outside influences that Paul addresses in this letter. He's writing this letter to the church in Colossae, which at one point was growing and going and planting other churches, and all of a sudden some outside influences came in that were starting to damage the church. And so what happened was Epaphras, who had gone to start those churches, came back to Paul while he was in prison and saying, Paul, I need some help. I need some mentoring. Help me understand, how do I deal with these problems now in the church? Because they're jamming us out. And all of us we all need mentoring. That's why we do discipleship. Find people who are going to help us when we face issues in life, when we start to get jammed up. And so here's what happened. Two different outside forces were starting to starting to destroy the fellowship, the good thing that they had going in the church in Colossians. The first was this legalism. And so these guys were coming into the church who just knew, they were Jews who knew the scripture, because the Jews knew the law. And they would bring the scriptures and they would start to say, you have to follow all these rules. And they had so much religious knowledge, and they're trying to use their religious knowledge to sort of shift and change the Colossian church from having this freedom in Christ, where people were coming to know Jesus and growing in their relationship with Jesus and with the relationship with others. All of a sudden they started bringing in all this pride, this religious pride and these religious rules, and say, well, did you know the Bible says this? Did you know the scripture says this? And you got to do this and this and this. And all of a sudden, instead of the scriptures bringing them into a closer relationship with Christ and more freedom and more excitement, they were using the scriptures to bring bondage and to be a communication of their own pride. It was an expression of their pride through their knowledge of the scriptures. I don't know if you've ever been in a Bible study like that, or a small group where someone comes in and they just start to want to dominate the conversation. They want to start telling everybody else what to do. They want to start showing, I have more knowledge than you and you're missing out. And it can really just start to destroy and start to cause people to get intimidated. And it can take the life and the joy out of following Jesus. And instead then of being focused on how we're loving others and how we're encouraging others, we're all worried about, where am I messing up? What do I don't know? And so this is something that Paul was dealing with here. Legalism, religious legalism. Second one was what we call paganism, which was the ways and the philosophies and the ideas that they had before becoming Christians. They were just starting to bring it into the church. Oh, we used to believe in a lot of different gods. So maybe in Christianity, there's also not just Jesus, but other different gods. And they would just bring all their philosophies and past religion or mystical spiritual understanding. And it was starting to confuse the church and taking the focus off of Jesus. And so Paul here, he's writing, he says, it's all about Jesus. Christianity all needs to point back to him. It's not about rules. It's not about mystical spiritual beings. It's all about Jesus. And so that's what Paul emphasizes here. And as we study Colossians, you're going to see it all points back to Jesus. That's the life we're meant to live. In fact, in the first chapter, Paul, he actually writes a little poem there in the first chapter, just exalting Jesus. And here's what he says. He says, Jesus, chapter 1, verse 15, Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. Jesus is the creator and sustainer of all things. Jesus is the head of the church and the forerunner of the church. Jesus is the fullness of God in man and the reconciler of God with man. And so he says, it's all about Jesus. And this is what we're going to discover as we go through Colossians. We're going to see how Jesus fulfills every need that we have. He's the one who's going to help us know who do we follow. He's going to take care of our political problems. He's going to take care of our information problems. Jesus is going to take care of our lack of direction. Every challenge that we face, everything that we've been looking for, if you've been looking for purpose in life, if you've been looking for morality and righteousness in life, if you've been looking for success in life, Jesus fulfills every single one of your needs and mine. This is the life that we're meant to live. It's a life of following Jesus. I'm going to close with this scripture. Colossians chapter 1, verse 28 says this. Him, this is Jesus, him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. You see, the life we are meant to live is a life of pursuing Christ, viewing all of life through Christ, and helping others mature in their relationship with Christ. And so I'd like to pray for us. Heavenly Father, as we embark on this study of the book of Colossians, Lord, let it not be just a study of principles or theology, but Father, may it be a revealing of who Christ is and how he functions in our lives. May it draw us closer to Jesus, and may it stir us to share Jesus with others. Father, may a fresh passion come into our church here at Every Nation Taipei, that we would begin to see, Lord, not only ourselves, but this city, this church, this nation, and this region as a place where Jesus is needed and a place where we've been called, chosen by God, sent by the will of God to bring Jesus. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I have here some discussion questions that will help you to understand or unpack what it means to follow Jesus and share Jesus. Number one, describe your ideal life. What part does Jesus play in your ideal life? Number two, who helped you come to Jesus and whom have you helped come to Jesus? In other words, who's your wingman? Who's helping you and who are you a wingman to? Number three, what steps can you take to become more like Jesus? Number four, what can you do this week to help someone else know more about Jesus? My prayer for you is that this would be a week of discovering more and more about Jesus, and that you would find in whatever you're struggling with, whether you are in a place of feeling lonely and isolated, that you would find that there is community through Jesus. If you're in a place of confusion and don't know where things are going, that you would find that there's direction and purpose in Jesus. If in this these changes that we've experienced under COVID, if you're finding that there's broken areas in your life and old addictions or hurts or pains that are coming up in your life, or new ones even, that you're going to find that Jesus heals every brokenness, restores everything that you lose. And Jesus gives us fullness of life. So may you walk with Jesus this week. Have a great week in God, and we're looking forward to seeing you again next week as we continue on to see Jesus in the book of Colossians. It all points to Jesus. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.